Well, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Welcome to another service here at Unity Center of Life, from our home to your home. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pam Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today. We want to emphasize that on our Zoom session right after this, we're going to be talking about the survey that we've sent out about your feelings about reopening in person. So if you're, please do join us in that Zoom session so you can share your thoughts and feelings around that idea. But we look forward to bringing you this service, and we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thanks. Good morning, Unity family, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement together. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. Amen. And now we will have the daily word reading for today, August the 1st. The key word is radiance, and the affirmation is the Christ presence within is my radiant source of good. On a clear day when a stray cloud passes across the sun, I notice the suddenly diminished light. Then looking up, I see brilliant rays of sunshine surrounding the cloud. Instead of hiding the sun, the cloud helps me see and appreciate the sun's radiance. As the sun lights the earth and is the source of its energy, the Christ, the divine presence within me, is my light and the source of everything. Everything that I need in order to live brilliantly and joyfully. When, like a passing cloud, an obstacle or challenge along the path may seem to dim my Christ light, I respond by looking up, by raising my point of view. I am reassured and strengthened, knowing that the divine radiance is shining as brightly as ever. No cloud can dim the divine light in me. And the scripture is taken from John 1:5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Amen. And now we will have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, honey. So we are on a new venture today. I think I've shared this with you before, that every week I'm always looking for something that is somewhat new to me. And I was involved in a discussion this week that kind of brought up some ideas that I'm going to work with. And then, you know, the topic for today is certainty in the midst of uncertainty. And of course, I think you can all relate to that because of all that's happening right now. And starting out by using the words of Charles Dickens to describe the uncertain times that we're going through. And this comes from A Tale from Two Cities. And he wrote, of course you know this, it is the best of times, it is the worst of times. It is the age of wisdom. It is the age of foolishness. It is the epoch of belief. It is the epoch of individuality. It is the season of light. It is the season of darkness. It is the spring of hope. It is the winter of despair. Okay. Now, this is probably a perfect explanation of what we have been and still are experiencing. Things seem to change day by day. You know, we got vaccinated and, you know, that was going to make a big difference for us. You know, we started to feel safe enough to venture out and be around other vaccinated folks, you know, making it feel as if we were moving from the worst of times into the best of times. But then another variant comes along. So now what? For many of us, this constant change is the root cause of our uncertainty about, you know, what is the future really going to be? And the lesson is about exploring how to maintain a feeling of certainty even in the flux of change that we're experiencing. So to cope with the ever-changing conditions put upon us by circumstances we just can't control, we need a different approach, a different way of thinking about our lives and how we go about creating our life experience. So to explore this change, we're going to look at a new terminology that was introduced to us in the ministers' meeting this past Sunday. And it was by a young congregant answering the question of, what do millennials want from a church experience? And as she was reading this email that this young millennial sent to her, we all were saying, you know, we didn't quite understand the terms that were being used, because the term used by this young person was mind hacking, and it's part of this idea of mind hacking is part of what's called the hacking culture. Okay, not what we think of as when we think of hackers, somewhat, but from a more positive standpoint. And if you look up, and, you know, if you do a Google search on hacker culture, it's a subculture of individuals who enjoy intellectual challenge of creatively overcoming the limitations of software systems to achieve novel and clever outcomes. So, you know, these are folks that are trying to do something positive, okay? So at first, none of us understood the concept of mind hacking, but this is how I explained it. And I actually sent an email to the person, the minister who received this, and I said, this is how I explain it. So in this one, the software we need to learn to hack into and change is our own crystallized thinking around how to do life. And yes, I believe that we're all creative people. We are all creative. We're always creating something in our, you know, in our life to help make things go better. But I think our challenge is that we keep creating within the same old arena, the same old paradigm, okay? An example of that is reopening church is a good example. That's the major discussion that's going on in these ministers' meetings that I sit in. For almost everyone, you know, who's thinking about this reopening the church, what it means is going back to the old traditional way of doing church, okay? So it's not like we are coming up with some new creative way of doing it that the pandemic has given us the opportunity to think about, okay? We are opening to us just going back to the old traditional way we've been doing it. And church consultants say that this model, that the way we have been doing church has been dying for years, okay? Actually dying for decades. However, mind hackers in the hacker culture have learned how to break free of old paradigms and hack into new arenas, new ways of doing life that quite possibly have never been explored before, okay? So that's sort of the idea of this idea of being a mind hacker. And mind hackers are able to do this because they're not attached to the old traditional ways of doing things, okay? And it's very possible that many of are just unconsciously stuck. Many of us are just probably unconsciously stuck in old ways of being, and possibly because we just can't see or we just can't accept any other way of doing life, okay? So we just go back to what we know, all right? So we may be unconsciously trapped in the syndrome of, this is how I've always done it, or this is how it's always been, okay? Now, using the words of Alan Alda, to add some meaning to this idea of being a mind hacker. Of course, he didn't know the term when he made this statement, but he says, you have to leave the city of your comfort zone and go into the wilderness of your intuition. I like that. You have to leave the city of your comfort zone and go into the wilderness of your intuition. What you will discover will be wonderful. You will discover your true self. Okay. Now, typically, when an event or circumstance happens, it throws us out of our comfort of the arena that we're used to, you know, our first thought is, oh, shucks, how do I get back? All right. And that's always the thing that happens. Oh, you know, how do I get back to the way things were? Or that's a statement you hear a lot, you know, getting back to the things we, you know, the way things were. So let's look at how we can hack our own mind and break ourselves out of the normal arena of thoughts, feelings, and fears in which we normally function, right? So we've spoken quite a bit about the creative presence within us. You know, it's a very natural, you know, part of the spiritual path that we're on, is being aware of the creative presence within us. At times, we've called this creative presence within us grace awakening, okay? And what we will look at today is the order or starting point for creating the or discovering the creative presence within us as a kickoff to how we're going to move into this figuring out how to have certainty in uncertain times. Now, Walt Whitman wrote a poem that will get us started. Okay, and this is what he said. I say no man has ever yet been half devout enough. None has ever yet adored or worshiped enough. None has begun to think how divine we ourselves are and how certain the future is. I say that the real and permanent grandeur of these states of mind must become our new religion. Otherwise, there is no real and permanent grandeur. Okay. Now, let me just say this again. He says, I say that no man has ever yet been half devout enough. None has ever yet adored or worshipped enough. None has begun to think how divine we ourselves are and how certain the future is. I say that the real and permanent grandeur of these states of mind must become our new religion. Otherwise, there is no real permanent grandeur. Okay, now we're going to break that down all through the talk. So Walt Whitman is referring to the divine creative presence within us. Oh, thank you, hon. Okay, so he's referring to the divine creative presence within us that causes us to awaken to God's grace within us. Okay, the divine creative presence within us that causes us to awaken to God's grace within us. Grace being the aid or assistance we receive from God when we're striving to break free of the old mental emotional arenas that we typically reside in. You know, the mental emotional arenas that entangle us in uncertainty. So this exploration is designed to move us from the theory of terms like creative presence and God's grace and into an understanding of how to use these concepts in the street, meaning in the challenges of our everyday lives. And that's what I said during this minister's meeting. That's what I thought that this mind hacker thing was, is that we typically get theories, you know, the theory of faith. Now, when you say have faith, that's really a theory. And in other words, you don't really understand the dynamics of using it until you have to use it in the street, meaning use it in your everyday lives. Real quick, my brother, sister, and I, we all grew up in martial arts, and you would see people come in and they would study and work and, you know, really learn the moves and the kicks and the blocks and all and become very proficient at it in the dojo. But, you know, we lived in a gang neighborhood, and so they would go out into the streets and somebody would jump at them and they would just scream and faint or run away, right? Which means they had learned the theory of martial arts, but they didn't understand how to translate that into how does it work in the street. So it's the same thing with the idea of faith. We may know the theory of faith, but do we know how to translate it into making it work in the street in our everyday lives? So as Walt Whitman says, none has begun to think how divine we ourselves are and how certain the future is. Okay, so this is what we're exploring in this lesson. And our starting point is to become devout enough, meaning to become more devoted to the fulfillment of our spiritual commitment to faith and certainty. More committed to that, to our spiritual commitment to faith and certainty, than our conscious or unconscious commitment to fear and uncertainty. Okay, so this is about answering the question, how do I remain certain in the midst of uncertain times? Okay. Now, quite often, the turmoil or the frustration that occurs in our lives is a result of the fact that our priorities are out of order. Okay. Now, if you've heard us talk about this before, there's an old saying that order is heaven's first law. All right. So getting things into the right order, the right perspective, is a great secret to experiencing a fulfilling and progressively faith-filled certainty in our lives. Okay. Now, as Walt Whitman expressed, I say that the real and permanent grandeur of these states of mind must become our new religion. Otherwise, there is no real permanence, no real or permanent grandeur. Okay. In other words, if you don't get the idea of faith, peace, love, and joy, for example, into the essence of your being, there's no real permanent, no real or permanent grandeur. There's no real or permanent benefit that you get out of it. Okay, if it just stays in your intellect and you have not learned how to use it in the street, in the midst of your life, then you have no real or permanent grandeur. You have no real or permanent sense of certainty about how you function in life. So what is the right order? Well, the starting point in everything is to begin with prayer. We know that, okay? If I'd asked the question, everybody could have answered that and said it's to start with prayer. The purpose being to align our mind with the true presence of our being, to align our mind with the true presence of our being. And again, as Walt Whitman said, none has begun to think how divine we ourselves are. Okay, meaning we don't take the time to, in the midst of uncertain times, in the midst of fearful times, we don't take the time to really think about how divine we really are. And he's not saying that we never stop to realize how divine we are. Okay, he never stops. He's not saying that. It's more that it's more of an occasional thing as opposed to a perpetual thing. Okay, and again, it must become our new religion. It must become the perpetual thought in our mind that we are divine and connected to that which is divine. Remember last week's talk, we are interbeings in interbeing. I'm not saying the interbeing or a interbeing. We are interbeings in interbeing, okay? And interbeing is in us. So we are always connected. So how does that become our new religion, our new thought process? Now, if we do not get in the habit of praying first, for spiritual alignment and spiritual insight, our reasons for doing what we are doing get all out of whack, okay? And uncertainty sets in. So if you're not in this alignment, the reasons we have for doing what we do get out of whack, and then uncertainty sets in. We find ourselves operating out of fear and frustration instead of faith, peace, love, and joy. And Jesus learned at a very young age, and we all know, you can answer this question. First and foremost, he said he had to be about his Father's business, Luke 2:49. And in order to fully develop the continuous awareness of the creative presence within us, we must come to realize that our first order of business is to acknowledge the power and presence of God in our lives and in all of our affairs, no matter what. Okay? However, even though as true students we know that God's presence is always with us, we can still get so entangled in the fear of uncertainty that we lose touch with the feeling of God's presence. Now, let me say that again. If we get entangled in the fear or uncertainty, we will often lose touch with the feeling of God's grace. And when we can't feel God's grace, when we can't feel God's presence, we fall into the grip of fear and uncertainty. And I believe that every one of us, you know, here that's listening to this knows what it feels like to be in God's presence. Again, we were in person, I'd ask you to raise your hand. Every one of us knows what it feels like to be in God's presence. But likewise, I believe that every one of us knows what it's like also to not feel like we're in God's presence. And that is the street lesson for true students. Meaning when you are out in the street, out in the midst of life, ask yourself, can I feel God's presence embracing me? If not, then take a divine breath. Breathe God in. What a divine breath is you breathe God in and you breathe fear and uncertainty out. And you keep doing it until you feel surrounded and enfolded in the presence of God. And that's what I mean by learning to do these principles in the street, right in the midst of what's going on. You stop if you do not feel that you're in God's presence, that you're in God's grace, all right? Take a divine breath. Breathe God in and breathe out, you know, fear and uncertainty. And you keep doing that until you can feel that you are enfolded in the presence of God. Buddha said, if you wish to feel the presence of the divine, feel the wind on your face and the warm sun on your hand. And this is a practice that we, you know, need to remember, because there's so much happening in the world right now that is touching our individual lives. We need to take the time often to take a divine breath, okay? Even when you see things on the news that may be, you know, in another part of the country, another part of the world, still take that divine breath to center yourself, all right? So that you can send out these feelings of healing out, as opposed to, you know, being caught up in fear. And when you come across others who are in fear and uncertainty, share this practice with them, this practice of taking a divine breath. And if they can't calm themselves down enough to practice divine breathing, then you breathe for them. Okay? So in addition to divine breathing, how do we hack our own thinking, feelings, the emotional self? How do we hack that thinking, feeling, emotional self and break the code that has us trapped in an arena of fear and uncertainty? Now, first, let's look at the origin of the term hacking, and I found this interesting. So hacking originates from the German word meaning to cut into pieces. It is a process of compiling information in a novel way that results in something interesting or useful. So the term originated with a positive connotation. The negative connotation of hacking, of course, is an attempt to exploit a computer system or a private network inside of a computer. Okay? For the purpose of this lesson, we're looking at hacking from the perspective that it may be possible to say that our ego self has hacked our divine self for its own self-fulfilling purposes. Okay, and let me say that again. So what we're looking at from the purpose of this lesson is a possibility that our ego self has hacked into our divine self for its own self-fulfilling purposes. Knowing that, the ego, knowing that as long as we are kept in fear and uncertainty, we are under the ego's control. And that's a whole new way of saying what we've been saying. Okay, so our work is to undo the ego's hack and instead allow ourselves to freely receive the grace of God within us as our natural gift, okay? Not something we have to pray and, you know, beg for, but as our natural gift. So breaking the ego's hack frees us to move out of the arena of fear and uncertainty and into the infinite creative presence that God is, okay? Now, I'm going to share with you this idea of God's grace, okay? And I'm going to bring up a slide because these are several ideas that I just want you to be able to go over with me. So God's grace is love in action in our lives, and God's love morphs into our heart's desire. Let me say that again. God's grace is love in action in our lives, and God's love morphs into our heart's desire. So God's grace is not just a feeling. Through love, it becomes transformed into the wants and needs we desire in our lives. And the word morph means to change very gradually from one thing into another. So the gradual unfolding of the manifestation of the good in your life is determined by how focused you are on feeling God's presence in every aspect of your life. Okay. So I know that was a lot. That's why I like to put up a slide, so if you want to go back, it's easy for you to read it. And again, referring to Walt Whitman's poem, I say that the real and permanent grandeur of these states of mind must become our new religion. Otherwise, there is no real and permanent grandeur. If we substitute continuous awareness of God's creative presence for real and permanent grandeur, it would make more sense to us as to why this must be our new religion, meaning our new way of thinking and being, which gives us the in-street practice, okay, of permanence in our life experience. Okay, once you really understand that, it gives you, again, I'm using this term, the in-street practice, okay, of permanence in our life experience, meaning when things happen to you in your life, you will be able to know, you will be able to go easily into this state of mind of peace and certainty. And I repeat, the greatest reason for continuously practicing, being aware of God's creative presence, is to become aware of the grace of God. Okay? The greatest reason, all right, for practicing being aware of God's creative presence is to become aware of the grace of God. Now here, this is actually what the slide I thought I was doing before. This we're going to look at all of the aspects, many of the aspects of the grace of God. So grace is the most benevolent activity of God known to us. Grace is the regenerative power of God that literally saves us from having to experience the full measure of our mistakes. Grace lifts us up so that we can become aware of our mistakes and make better choices, more spiritually guided choices. Grace is the power within us to overcome and transform any uncertainty about our life experiences, all right? And then grace heals, purifies, regenerates, and restores us to our natural state of wholeness. Grace is divine love and divine protection bestowed freely upon us by God. But in order to feel God's grace active within us, in all things, we must put God first. And we do that, of course, by prayer. Okay? Now just look at that for a moment, and you can begin to understand all the dynamics of, you know, this process of grace. Hey, let me just hold on 1 minute. It went off. Let me just put that right back on so that it'll be easy. Okay, there we go. Okay, so those are some of the aspects of grace. Again, you can go back and look over. Now, there is divine order to all things, and we sink with that order. We sink with that order by putting God first, all right? So there's divine order to all things, but we sink with that order by putting God first. Now, how do you do that? Quite simply, in all things, no matter what, before you do anything, get still by practicing divine breathing, okay, so that you can align your mind with God's mind before entering into prayer. This is the divine starting point, so that you are more open to listening to the guidance that you receive, okay? So when you start out with that getting still, doing that divine breathing, okay, you get yourself into a place where you're more open to listening, hearing, and following the guidance that you receive. Now, without prayer, we often find ourselves focusing on the difficulty, the frustration, the time constraints, the unreasonable demands, the overwhelming nature of the project before us, okay? But through prayer, we find our attention is focused instead on the creative presence within us, ready to help us manifest anything we need to manifest, right? So difficulty and time constraints and unreasonable demands and overwhelming tasks, all those things take a back seat to a mind that has been aligned with the creative presence within. Now, referring back to Walt Whitman's poem, right now, for the most part, our religion is in our intellect. And even though in many cases the intellectual approach works, it leaves us a lot of times in uncertainty and wondering, you know, what is this really going to work out? Right? Is this really possible? Okay? Whereas those who are using the spiritual approach, the prayer-filled approach, have come to know with certainty that with God, all things are possible when you believe. Okay. Now, John Allen Paulos said, uncertainty is the only certainty that there is. Uncertainty is the only certainty there is. And knowing how to live with uncertainty is the only security that there is. And then Rabbi Erwin Kula reminds us that most of our decisions in life come from a place of uncertainty. Now listen to that. Most of our decisions in life come from a place of uncertainty. We don't always know where our decisions will lead us because as we have come to learn, uncertainty is a part of the human drama. And in the end, we have to act on faith. Faith that it will all work out. Perhaps not as we expect it to work out, but still lead us to a place of discovery and new perspectives. So I want to leave you with this affirmation to ponder this week. And it is, today I remember I am one with spirit. I move with confidence and all I do from a place of faith, knowing whatever I do and wherever I am, God is right there with me. And so it is. Amen. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
So let's begin our meditation time by placing our feet flat to the floor, relaxing your neck and shoulders, and placing your hands loosely on your lap. Gently close your eyes if you wish. Just find your comfortable space and place. Take a deep breath and exhale fully. Thoughts drift away and your mind becomes clear as you turn within. Focusing on your heart, you hold to this truth. Please take the following words as your very own. I express the strength and vitality of God. God is my strength, therefore I am strong, steadfast, and patient. I withstand the winds of change. Adversity does not deter me, for my power lies within. My mind is clear and steady. My will is firm. My spiritual strength sustains me in moments of uncertainty. I draw from a deep well of courage within. When faced with challenging conditions, I renew myself and stand firm, undaunted and re-energized. I stay the course. Again and again, I rise and march forward, fearless and focused. I count the cost of the road ahead. I prepare myself to act, owning what is mine to do. Inner wisdom and discernment guide me through my predictable circumstances. Boldness and tenacity propel me beyond obstacles. With enduring strength, I persevere through shifting tides and unforeseen challenges. Trusting in the power of my spiritual strength, I persist and remain hopeful. I may falter, but never fail, for divine power within is my endless source. Whether I am conscious of it or not, God's will is actively at work in my life and in the lives of others. As I recognize this truth and work with God, rather than worry about what might happen, I will find that my life is so much smoother. So I know for myself and others that we are eternal beings united in spirit and strength. God is our comfort and strength, and because God is with us, each day is brighter than the day before. Please join me now in a few moments in the silence where you may pray and receive answers to your prayers and feel God's stillness. Thank you, Lord of our being, that our prayers are heard and answered at the same time. In the name and nature of our elder brother and way-shower, Jesus the Christ, we dwell in gratitude for divine strength and all blessings from you. And so it is. Amen. Slowly come back to your surroundings and make your day a blessed one.
Thank you, hon. That was great. This is the time we open our hearts and minds to allow some of the treasure that flows into our personal lives, into our spiritual home. And if you are new with us and wondering how you can give and support Unity Center of Light, if you look at the, it says show more right down below this video, you will can click on that and it will give you all the different ways that you can give. And we appreciate all of the donations that come in. So with that in mind, I ask you to hold your offering in your hand, in your mind, in your spirit, and let's say our offering blessing together.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen. And now you have light notes on?
Yes.
Okay.
Light notes for today, Sunday, August the 1st. Each year, Unity Center of Light partners with the Bowie Food Pantry to help provide school supplies and backpacks to our area youth. Over the years, we have made a huge impact on our community with this outreach program. You may donate the same way you do with food donations. Check the days and times to drop off donations, put them in the trunk of your car, drive up, pop your trunk, and a volunteer will come and take your donations. Remember to put a note on your donation that says Unity Center of Light. Check your e-newsletter for the items that are especially needed. We do appreciate you supporting our area school children. On Sunday, August the 8th, our special guest speaker will be the Reverend Ogun Holder. Don't miss this Sunday lesson titled Divine Disruption, the Not-So-Hidden Gift of the Pandemic. And now Reverend Butch will talk about our reopening survey.
Oh yeah, so the reopening survey has been going fairly well. Today, Sunday, is the last day to fill it out. And please be a part of our Zoom service because we're going to ask, many people fill that survey out 2-3 weeks or more ago when it first came out. And we discovered that some folks are saying with this new Delta variant going on that they may have a different viewpoint. So we want to have a live discussion in the Zoom session right after this service, to get your feeling about the whole reopening idea. So please be part of that, and we look forward to it. And again, if you have not filled out the survey, you still have time to do it. Thank you.
All right, we'll now bless the path that we each will walk this week. We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto. Together.
Right.
I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful.
All right. Now let's do our love song and preparatory protection.
Prayer for protection, yes. The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine. And all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So, it's been a great pleasure to bring you this service today. We hope to see you right after this in Zoom so you can be part of that discussion and just, hear what your other fellow Unity family is saying. So we look forward to seeing you then. Otherwise, have a wonderful week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.